Let me just get a minute. I was starting to get activated. Don had come by earlier today during the service and had prayed for me. And my thought was, okay, I don't know how this is what's going to happen here, but I felt the energy start to come in. And as he was giving this testimony, I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if we got up and did a prayer for Don, for his impartations and people. And they got intercepted. So, all right. All right, let me get prepped here real quick. Thank you. What a wonderful worship, too. Thank you for, Lord, sending your vessels to be able to worship and lead us in that way. And I don't do much on the worship piece because I really enjoy feeling the waves. And I just like to get still. But there'll be days, there'll be something, I'll maybe jump around and things like that. And the Lord has used me in that way before. And but I just enjoy the presence. I just enjoy just being still and just being and trying to listen. And I sense things that are happening. And I think that's just my thing for now. So anyway, doesn't mean nothing's happening if I'm sitting there. I have a short teaching, and please give me a little bit extra time if we start going over 20 minutes or so, because I gear this for like 20, 25 minutes. I try to stay on task, but it's easy, depending on what the Spirit is doing, to take a shift, to do something. So just bear with that, and I know that we usually stop on a particular hour. I see the day coming, though. We're going to kind of push that. We'll be pushing that. Not just to do it for that sake, but because we don't really want to leave. And because the Spirit is continuing to work. So, we have told this, and I believe this is a Spirit-led thing, and that is this, that we, in the past, have, when you come to Firestorm, we encourage you to release your gifting, to release your charis, to practice. We give you liberty. We give you license to be able to release yourself into expressing the gifting that God has placed in you and to bless others and to start recognizing what's inside you and to, again, come into your destinies and purposes that God has for you. And so we've allowed that, and we have been, I think, we bear along with you. And I'm not saying that we're trying to, you know, okay, we need to stop. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that we need to start fine-tuning ourselves. Yeah. It's important that we do that. And I think that as the weeks go on, we don't know how long this is going to go. I'm leaving it indefinite, but I think there's always going to be a fine-tuning if you are delivering ministry. There's always a fine-tuning. I ask things with my wife, and I say, look, dear, not that I'm insecure here, but how did it come across?
Right.
And I think that if you're a student of the game, you will do that.
Right.
Do not assume that everything that you do or everything in your personality or your person is fine-tuned. And that you've got it all together, that you don't need to change or improve. That's not how it works. There's always something to improve.
Yes.
And that's the goal here. It's not to start giving some correction and come on, you need to get with it and all that stuff. This is not in the spirit of that.
Right.
It is really in the spirit of let's fine-tune ourselves, let's get better, let's hear better, let's deliver better, and let's really put forth a ministry that people can receive and impact their lives and change their lives. That's really what it's about.
Yeah.
So during the week, my understanding is Wednesday kind of hit on this too, but during the week I was sitting and I felt, you better get cracking on this. You better get going on this. We have been saying, this is coming, this is coming. We need to do this, we need to do this. Well, now it's here, now it's time. So, this is the start. Believe me, the start is this. We're going to talk today about the personal anointing. By no means can I cover everything. It will probably trigger and spark thoughts of your own, and that's fine. I only have limited time. You can only take me so much today, right? You have a limitation of time. You can only imbibe so much. That's why the class hours are an hour. You get a break, walk around a little bit, come back to another class, okay? But there is one thing I would like to say. In this refining time, in the tuning time, there's three things we need to talk about, and I've mentioned this in the past. One is you need to trust God that He's going to work in you, work with you, and He will. And also, have some trust to us, toward us. Now, I'm not asking everything detailed of your personal life, and I'm not asking for Christmas cards, and I'm not, it's not about that. But you have seen my life, what I'm about, and so I'm asking for your trust to a degree that you can trust what I'm saying, that it is good, and that I can use it, okay? And if there's something that I say and you want to challenge and you want to take it offline and discuss, great. If you want to take it into further study for yourself, great. That's part of what this is all about. But you're going to need that to be able to accept what I'm saying and then get ready to apply it. And I've told this to courses and classes that I've taught in the past. Give me a chance. I could show you some things. And then afterward, all right, then you can come out and say, hey, I think I know some things, but then you can give a critique and then we can have a discussion, all right? And then the two other things, faith. Faith that change will happen to you, that God is working with you. He is, and He will. He'll work with you. There's a lot of interplay here with the giftings and with the anointings. And also the desire to be better. You want to be a student of the game.
That's right.
Don't get to a place where you think you know everything.
That's right.
And you can't be shown some new tricks of the trade. And I'm using some slang if you don't mind. Because I know these things are reverent and things like that, but I trust that you know where I'm going with a lot of what I'm saying. So again, we're just starting the series. We're just going to start with a personal anointing. Somebody else may have a further session on this, and that's great. Maybe we don't stop here. Maybe we take this 5 weeks. I don't know. All right. But as we progress, what we're going to do is start tweaking how we deliver things, how we receive things, okay? The best way to do a particular thing or not, right? So we're going to and give you a lot of education, hopefully, and make us better ministers, make us better equipped. So we don't create an offense. So we don't look and appear kind of strange. That people that we can engage with people properly and deliver something that is crucial and that they can accept it and change their life, impact. So better equipping, being sharper, more discerning in the spirit, giving away our charis and grace to others, and then weaving us together as one body, as one. Today I was perfectly happy and content. Okay, I can wait on this. Great worship today. Just amazing things happen in the spirit here. And I relish that. I don't take anything for granted here. I appreciate it. There's things that happen here and impacts that happen to me and to all of us that I just really appreciate. So where did the idea of an anointing come from? Well, you can research a lot of this, and I just want to cover some historical and some contextual, and then we'll move on, because I want to get to hands-on. Hands-on is where it's at. We can go into a deep theological lesson, but that doesn't mean that you can take it and apply it. And so when I taught skills, it was a lot of hands-on practice. I won't go any further with that, but it's very important. Can you bring somebody to salvation? Can you pray for somebody for the Holy Spirit? Can you deliver a prophetic word? Do you have that anointing? And with the anointing, can you make a good delivery? Okay, all these things are very important. All right? You can have a gifting. I'm going to probably repeat myself a couple of times if you don't mind. You can have a gifting, but you may not have the anointing to deliver that gift. Because it is a thing of timing. So I'm going to say some things that will challenge you, challenge your thinking, but it's good. That'll be healthy. And, again, I may not be able to cover everything about anointing, okay? But you, as students of the game, you will be able to take it further if you want to. So the idea of anointing. The anointing came from a concept of oiling the heads of sheep to keep the bugs, ticks, lice from the ears of the sheep. Insects such as lice could burrow into the ears and kill the animal. The oil made the head slippery, right? And there's a lot of typology even in that. Now, I wasn't there. That's what history says. You know, then it seems logical to me. Kings and prophets were anointed in the Old Testament to signify the office and the importance of the mission that they were going to do. Anointing meant that oil was poured on you and smeared on you. And it started with your head. And oil was poured from a horn, which signifies power. The Spirit, power. Okay, those are the types. Now, when we mean smeared, and I've had this done to me before, that means somebody is putting that on your head and on your face and okay, and I don't know how they did it, but it's very possible that that happened. The Old Testament anointing was external and limited to a certain position and enablement. The New Testament anointing is indwelt permanently, and that you have scriptural examples. Anointings were carried out symbolically with literal oil, and also spiritually, i.e., the Spirit of the Lord came on a person in the Old Testament, and then they were able to do particular feats that the Lord wanted to have done. And one of the best examples is David, who was anointed three times in his life, right? The references are easy to find, but there are three times there were different sections or portions of the kingdom that were given to him, and there was an anointing done, and probably a ceremony and things like that. And that was important. Marriage is a important ceremony. Crownings of kings and monarchs is an important ceremony too. Also, the New Testament believers have an unction that abides with them. There's an anointing that is given them. All right, but I'm going to drill down on a couple things here. We all have an anointing, and that the Holy Spirit seals us and fills us. John 15, 26, 16, 13, Romans 8 and 9, oh, I'm sorry, chapter 8, verse 9, 2 Corinthians 1, 22, 21 and 22. It's all over the epistles. And that's his presence in us. He abides with us. Now, do you always feel that? Sometimes you do. Sometimes you don't, right? That's the reality. We know, we believe by faith that he abides with us. But are you always feeling that? No. That's the reality. Would I like to be in a place where I always sense him? Yeah. Yes. Now, a question for us. Since we know and we believe that the Holy Spirit resides in us, does that mean we can do anything we want? If we take a step of faith and do anything we want?
No.
The answer you're going to find is no.
Assumption.
It is. So So what does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit is working with us. There's an interplay there. Are we anointed for everything? No. Can you wind up doing something that you really weren't anointed for? Yes. Do you need to stop, regroup, and rethink? Yes. Holy Spirit may be talking to you to do change. You need to change this way. Shift. So if that's the case, what does that mean? That means we have somebody working with us. Holy Spirit is working with us. And the Holy Spirit is a person. It is power, yes, but it's a person, and we don't want to offend. And if it's a person, we're working together, does that mean I get a no sometimes? Yes, because it's for my best interest. Anointing also means this, that, and I know that you know some of these things. It also means that something was crushed to obtain the substance. A fruit or a flower, something has to be crushed to get the fragrance, to release the fragrance. Beautiful verse in Isaiah talks about the Lord being crushed and that fragrance rising. Are you willing to be crushed or spent? Think about that. Our job is to lead people to the Lord, to Jesus, and having encounters with Him. Now, our gifts and our talents can and do draw people. But left alone, without anointing especially, they will be drawn to you. And if they're drawn to you, they also can leave you. They tire of you or whatever. You did something wrong or you slipped. And they'll leave. There is a difference between the gifts and the anointing. You want them combined. Can you have a gift and operate it without really feeling much or doing much? Yes, you can. You can. Will God back it up? I would say sometimes. All the time? I think that's presumptuous. But a lot of people do think that because you're gifted with something, that you can go and march out and do anything you want as long as you have faith.
Question. Give an example, Don.
Presumptuous prophecy is one thing. And I'm going to talk about this. And when I teach, I try to tell students that you want to have a sense of anointing. Some people out there do believe and teach that you can start prophesying by faith, reaching into faith and prophesying. But I believe we have to be careful with that. Because that can result in presumptions. And we reach by faith, but what's activating? Is the faith being activated with an anointing, or are you just trying to reach out there and create something, cause something? That's the difference. That's the thing that you'll have to sort through personally. All right? Do you want something to happen? Are you trying to create something? Are you trying to move God's hand? Or is it something that you know based on the anointing that you've received? It's a ponderous thing, and everybody has to get that settled. Now, I know the way I like to operate. You know, I like to operate where I feel an anointing, and there's many signals that we're going to go long. Do you mind?
No.
Okay. The many signals that the Lord has worked with me with. Okay, I'll shake my hands, I will feel something internally, I'll get a picture, I'll get movements, my face will contort, all kinds of things. That is God's signals, because sometimes I overanalyze things. I know how to get around that, says the Lord. Okay, so, and that's why some things look strange, because what it's doing is bypassing my natural mind on a lot of it. So, and it will happen to other people as well. Okay, and because of the more practice you get, the better you get. The more anointing that you can experience in your walk, the more you can remember, and if you log that as experience.
Right.
But having said that, let me bring another side of that. The Lord keeps changing things.
Yeah.
You don't always get what you've received in the past. Sometimes it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Lord just changes things up. That's what he does. Okay? So just be forewarned with that. So if you're always experiencing a pleasant feeling before you engage in a spiritual demonstration, okay, keep in mind that that may change and will likely change because the Lord wants you to be sensitive to many things. I mean, what if all you got was a nudge? That's it. If you read about war horses, all they got was a kick and a slight one at that in some circumstances because of all the battle and the noise and everything else. They went by feel. Mm-hmm. Then as they turn right, horse. It was nothing like that. It was a turn or it was a kick to go or a pull to stop. Right? And because of all, I mean, some of these signals, the horse had to be alert as to what's happening. So that's an amazing story in itself, and I don't want to get into those areas, but if you ever have a chance to read about, or listen to messages about that, it's just fascinating work, or fascinating as to how horses were trained for battle and things like that. So, gifts are very important, as we know, but also we have to know when to use and when to not. And so, like I said, you know, you may be gifted in a particular thing. Maybe there's a prophetic gift that you have, or maybe there's a healing gift that you have, and you want to lay hands on the world. Let me give you that example. You, and this is what God has put in your heart. I mean, don't get me wrong. You would like to see everybody healed. Yeah. And you're going to take that leap of faith. And you want to pray. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. But here's the thing. The way the Holy Spirit works, and he's very strategic, all right, you may not get the result you want. And you have to be okay with that. It's not necessarily you. All right? Maybe that healing is for the future. Maybe the Lord is working on the other person to get that heart in a right space, a right place. Okay? So the thing is, this is why the teaching on this, we're just talking about the personal anointing, and I'm just on page one. I got four pages. But it's important that we fine-tune ourselves so that we don't also, in the area of healing, receive a stumbling. That we stumble because, hey, what happened? Is that person's faith or lack of? Right. Is it that? Or is it me? Okay? Or maybe it's the Holy Spirit and his timing. So are you launching out there, you're wanting to pray, and believe me, folks, if you go out and do that, that's okay. Don't worry. Okay? Because you want to pull on that faith. You want to say, Lord, you put a compassion in me. All right? And so if you do that, but again, I'm going to reiterate, if you don't mind, if you don't get the result you're looking for, maybe it's the timing. So don't always look at the obvious, say, well, something happened, something's wrong. Okay, maybe not. So that's just another example of that. Yokes, anointings break yokes of bondage. And they lead to encounters with the Holy Spirit. So when you're anointed and you know it, and we're going to talk about knowing it, that is really one of those dynamics that is needed to break something. You're anointed to speak something. You're anointed to break something, break an addiction off somebody, or to speak something in the atmosphere, a prophetic word, a healing. Okay? The anointing breaks the yoke. So, something to remember. I won't belabor that, but that's what happens. Now, giftings can entertain. They can attract, they can create wonder, but it may not bring change. But the anointing can bring change.
Say that again.
Giftings can attract, they can entertain, they can cause people to wonder, but they may not necessarily bring change in people, whereas the anointing coupled with those gifts bring the change. The anointing of receiving or you're watching a ministry or you're listening to ministry, and you have the anointing to listen, brings change, does it not? Yeah, it impacts you. You respond. You have a quickening. You have your knower picks up the message and say, let me say one thing about knowing. I've said things, and we've talked about this, Gail, and I went, oh man, I wish I would have said that. I just missed saying this. And you know it's too late to get back up on the mic and say, hey, one thing, right? But when you take a step back, you know what? You really got it. You really got the intent of the message. You didn't need every single detail to really get it, because the Holy Spirit is working in you to know it. And the Holy Spirit will be feeding you. So there's one thing about when you prepare a message and stuff, the Holy Spirit and the anointing starts coming. There's so many thoughts and so much subject matter. You can't put it all down. You can hardly get or contain what the Holy Spirit is giving you. There's so much out there. I do love that about him, that as you're preparing it, I can insert this, and I can go here and there, but you have to stay on task. Yes. So it's a discipline. Yes.
You talked about the anointing breaks things, yokes.
Yes.
I've heard of a breaker anointing. Is every anointing a breaker anointing?
No. The breaker anointing are usually, when that is referred to, is a person that is leading a pack, or a person that is going in a movement or demonstration first. It's a person going first. So you could say that Jesus had a breaker anointing, right?
Yeah.
But that you can look back in church history, various movements, and how one or two have started something, and people may not pick it up, and then all of a sudden it breaks out. So I've had that said over my life, various others, perhaps in this room, have said that, you know, I see a breaker anointing on you. And that means you're going to be a forerunner. And that means you could be in a lonely place, by the way. Just word to the wise. May get lonely there. And then you're wondering, what am I doing out here when people seem to be back there? I think that Caleb and Joshua had somewhat of a breaker anointing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they were ready to go. And guess what they had to do? And wait.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that was a tough thing for them. Yeah. And then, but when the time came, they were ready. And then they were out there. And guess who was leading? Mm-hmm. Those two. Okay. Let's talk about principles of anointing. God chooses to anoint leaders, churches, individuals. Sometimes, and I'll say this, and believe me, I read and I listen and stuff, so everything that I get here, probably somebody else has said in some way, shape, or form. You know, if you're not sure where you are, if you're not there as to understanding your identity and purpose and everything else, sometimes it's better to align with an anointed leader or movement or group rather than trying to start something that you're when you're not anointed to do. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you're here and you want to align with us, really align with us then.
Yes.
Okay? We've got a lot of people that come and go and all that. Don't get me wrong, folks. Okay? Don't get me wrong. To get the full benefits of, you know, you want to stay in the group. You want to cast in, okay? And sometimes, and I've had it happen to me, things change. It's like, it's time for you to go. I've had that happen. I'll never forget. I say, Lord, let me stay. And I was at a particular church for a particular time. Let me stay one more year. One more year with this group. One more. No. Go. And I had the plug pulled. And I will never forget also just standing there going, nothing happening. Okay? Now, does that happen with everybody? No. But it happened with me, and it did helped propel me to have to go. So don't try to be something that you're not. Maybe God is not in it. So if you're trying to say, you know, I think it would be cool to be a seer.
I do.
And you're going,
yeah.
And you're reading, and you're, you know, but you know, you get your quiet time, and maybe the Lord's saying, I don't want you to be a seer. I want you to be a thus or this. Okay? And so, and some people will spend a lot of time, significant time, trying to work something, get something, keep asking the Lord, Lord, I'm determined I want to be an evangelist in the Hawaiian Islands. I'm just using it for funny, but
yeah.
Hey, some people, they get like that, you know?
Yeah.
But guess what? To be real, I don't have that in my DNA. I recognize that. I don't keep pushing that, okay? But it sounds fun and cool, right? So that's kind of the things, to understand how God is working with you. That's part of the anointings, or the anointing. You want to have a grace for your race and what God has called you to be. So now here let's kind of come around and talk about, you know, what is it that you sense? What's your anointing? What's it for? What really interests you in God? I'd love to study His Word. I love to try to impart, to get to move people, to change them, and to get them demonstrating what I think they should be demonstrating. Okay? Now, what does that say? What am I? You know, I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher.
Yeah.
I'm that. But then again, if you look at my track record, it's all there.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And then there's some of you, what's another example? It could be evangelism. This is another good one. You love lost people. You love it. You eat it, breathe it, think it. You can't stop thinking about it. Well, guess what you are?
Evangelist.
Right? And some people have that grid for the prophetic. They're all over it. The numbers, the colors, the pictures, the situations, the context, the circumstances. That, brother, means that you will probably be doing, you know, and what's that person got? There's a prophetic anointing that's there, because that's the grid. Now, let me go another one. Pastoral. What's that grid? Protection.
Caring.
They love the people, right? That's another important grid. And so all these things need to be working together for one body. But I'm just giving you examples as to, you know, what's in your DNA, right? And what your anointing really is. Don't confuse visibility with significance.
Right.
We think that because, you know, well, I'm not visible, I'm not really out there and stuff like that. Believe me, you can be a contributor. You can also help impact the atmosphere. You can impact people's lives. You just have to know when the time is and when what your gift is.
That's right.
You can still contribute. I think it's harder to step in leadership and to ensure that the ship is running, make sure that all the people are there, especially for the pastors out there. I appreciate their gifting. I really do. Because they're always thinking to those people. They can put a lot of pressure on them. I've watched it. So have you. One principle is stay under the presence of God where you're at and develop there. Don't always feel like you've got to jump out and get visible and have a shingle hanging at your door, you know, and you're going to open up shop, and now this is Don Davis Ministries, and I want you to invite me to your church services so I can speak and so I can be self-sustaining, collect your offerings, you know, and things like that, all right? That may be the last thing you really need or want.
Yes.
Because it's one thing to dream it and be romance it, right? Mm-hmm. But to really do it. I'm telling you, I will probably have a revolt if I'm stuck in North Dakota in January in a small town.
Right.
Yeah. OK? Okay? That's true. But hey, I wanted to be in the ministry and I wanted to hit the road and all that stuff. Well, be careful of that. Know what's in your DNA. Understand how the Lord works with you. Understand your anointing. Does that make sense for you?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I think you're with me. So, now, keep in mind, with your anointing and your understanding of it and your how you work and everything else, some people may not always get you.
That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah. It's true. They may miss it. They don't, if we're all visual and we tend to want to focus on beautiful people and, you know, or people that have it together and everything else, and they may miss what you have. You have to accept that. And you may be in the shadows or behind in the dark places or in the corner.
Or rejected,
yeah. I'll never forget, there was one particular time, I think the story fits here. I was in a church service, and I felt that I have to get up and dance. I felt the wind behind my legs. So I got out there, my legs were just going, right? I can't even imitate it. But I found out somebody else was dancing. And there were just two of us, and we're just kind of just dancing out there. And man, I could have kept going. And then, but the way the service was ordered, this music stopped, and then they shifted to something slow, and I just kind of went, man, you're leaving me hanging out there. Right? I wanted to keep it going. I was in it, so I want to keep it going, right? So did people understand all that? No. No, I knew that. Mm-hmm. It was like, get out there and do it anyway. And I had the energy, the supernatural energy to do it. It was just one of these joyful things that I, and it was probably done as a demonstration. God is with you. God is happy with you. You know, all those things. You can peel back the layers, but you know what I mean. And that's what happens.
Right.
You may feel something to do, and you come up and say, I feel to do this. I feel anointed to do this. And then the leadership says, great, stand down. And you're going, oh. Yeah, it's happened to me. Right? I'll tell you another story, if you don't mind stories. I remember I was in a church service, and I knew I had something to deliver, and I didn't want to do it. This is where the interplay, so I hope you can understand how I'm bringing this. There's a lot of interplay between you and the Holy Spirit when it comes to giftings and anointings. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was about the anointing that people needed to go into regarding healing, especially healing with kids, children. And I knew this. But I also knew that this pastor is not an easy man. And I really didn't want to give it. But prior to me going up and delivering it, the pastor's wife had said, Don has a word from the Lord today. But I didn't know that this had happened. She told me later. And I remember thinking, you may like this story, you may not. I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm thinking these thoughts. And so if you can imagine a blender inside you,
right.
A blender. Push, and it goes. And I'm going, oh. And I'm seated, and it's on. And I'll go to the back, and maybe it'll subside. So I get up out of my seat, and I go to the back. And I just hold on to something, because I feel like I'm going to get sick. It gets pushed higher speed, if you can believe that. So I got a high-speed blender going on internally. And I feel I am going to get sick if I don't do something here. And so finally I just went, all right! Because I knew who I was talking to. So I went up and delivered the word. And it stopped. Oh, I went back and sat down. And pastor gave that word, and tons of people stood up, started coming forward, hands laid on them. It was an important thing. It was an important thing for the Lord to have done, and so I was glad to get it done, finally. But that's how the interplay worked.
Right.
Okay? So there might be some unpleasantness in the anointing that you experience to get something to happen. Okay, I'm just giving you forewarning. I'm not saying it will. Most of the time, the anointing, the way it feels, it's wonderful, isn't it? It is. I've watched people under the anointing where they're in a spot where that anointing is, and especially at the pulpit ministry, because the Lord is trying to do things, and he wants the delivery folks to have that anointing. I'll never forget, I went to one meeting, and the guy did the prepping opening remarks before the speaker started coming up, right? And it was supposed to be an introduction to the speaker. You know, this is so-and-so, and dynamic ministry leader, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, this guy was up there, and he started with his opening remarks, but man, the anointing was there, and he was just kind of going, he was under it, and it was pleasant, it was pleasurable, and it was like, wow, I don't get this in a lot of what I do in my ministry, but man, I'm right here. So what happened was the speaker had to go up and get him and tell him, you have to go now. It's my show. So what happened? So the anointing oftentimes feels wonderful. It feels, Lord, I just feel your supernatural energy. And you know it, you feel it, you felt it before. It's just something supernatural about it. And I'm going to cover that too. Okay. I'm going to try to go a little bit faster here. Remember, with the anointing, God is also looking inside of you. He wants to draw out your giftings, talents, and abilities, and things like that. But he's also wants to change you. So the anointing can work in also with the delivery, but also work inside you and change you and make you a better vessel. Does that make sense? All right. And you can't give out what you don't have. So there's got to be some personal development involved. There's no overnight success either. Maybe there's some outlier that, I just discovered this and off I go, and, they go out in some ministry or something. But usually, we kind of know this, there's no overnight success. You have to develop and be willing to. It has to be practiced, understood, your senses trained. Do you guys need to stand up a bit? Go ahead and stand up, if you would. Not that you're going to do anything, just to change. But it has to be, your senses have to be trained to know it, understand it, to be able to flow in it, right? So where you are, it's important to understand where you are and to allow the Holy Spirit to develop you, develop your giftings and anointings. All right, let's talk about what does it feel like. A lot of you already know what it feels like, and I've given you a heads up as to it could change and shift. But the bottom line of it is, simply put, it feels supernatural. It behaves supernaturally. It has a supernatural energy to it. It resonates with your spirit. You bear witness with it. Your knower recognizes it. It recognizes that God is behind the activity of what you're doing. It could be preaching. It could be prophetic. You can sit down whenever you want, or you can stand. It could be whatever activity, prayer, you're praying for somebody, and there's an anointing behind it. There's a real energy, supernatural energy behind it. What you're feeling may not be what I'm feeling, and vice versa. So if your anointing, how you feel it, could be different than the way I'm doing it. Sometimes the anointing or the prodding is gentle. Or the sensing is gentle and small, right?
Right.
Sometimes the anointing fee seems like a light touch, but sometimes the sensing or the feeling is heavy and intense. So what Dawn did was hug me, and it felt intense, and I crashed. Okay, that happens. Sometimes you just get the flicker, the small flame. And then sometimes that's all you get to go on, and then you go with it, right? And then it turns out it was all correct, and it all worked out, okay? So what I'm doing is I'm giving you the different degrees and intensities of what the anointing can feel like, and I'm sure that you have felt that.
Yeah.
The thing is, you don't have to wait all the time for a heavy, intense anointing
right.
for you to be able to move out and operate in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's important, because sometimes when I come up here, I'm not feeling much. Sometimes I felt where I'm bowed over. Mm-hmm. And you've seen this.
Right.
That's it's and the anointing is there. I'm there to help you and help you deliver. There's an important message I want you to say, and here's my energy and flow to help with that. If you're not sensing anything and you want to get up, and you know, because you feel like you have to, and because nobody else seems to, be careful. That's where a lot of mistakes can be made, and flip comments, glib comments, and then, you know, oh, man, I didn't really want to say that. Well, because it wasn't your time, there wasn't a lot of energy put forth in that, or let's say the supernatural energy behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, you can run into problems. So, but if you've got some, if you're scheduled, and you've got some prayer support behind you, and you prayed about this, and you want to, and I'll get to. And you want to, you deliver it, you can relax and be confident and have faith that the Lord's going to be behind you.
Right.
Yes.
And that can be false responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm sure there are a lot of people in leadership positions, or, you know, there's nothing happening. I feel like I got to do something to get this thing going. Be careful with that.
Yes.
Be very careful with that.
Not to.
Huh?
It's brave.
Not to, exactly. Yeah. It's better to have silence
yes.
and wait
yes.
than to try to stir something up
right.
that you really don't have
right.
an anointing to do.
That's right.
So we're talking about what does it feel like. We're talking about sensing, feeling. It could be inside you. It could be outside you. That would kind of throw me for a loop sometimes. Say, Lord, why do I sense your presence outside? Shouldn't you be inside? Shouldn't there be a living water coming out? But that's the way it happens. So you can feel very heavy presence coming on the outward, and that's just, you know, is that the Spirit of the Lord? Is that angels? You know, but still, we know that the Holy Spirit's inside us. We know that he flows out from us.
Yes.
We know that it can be very intense on the inside, but also on the outside. I have experience where I felt this energy. It was like on my skin. I could feel it. It was just amazing. And it happens that time. It happens sometimes. Okay, we talked about how the pleasantness of the anointing, it can feel very good, a strong sense of peace, an energizing, all these things. This is where we go hands-on. You have to discover how it feels for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important. It's one thing to know, you know, well, I'm going to take it by faith, and I'm going to do a demonstration, or I'm going to preach something. But it's another thing where you sense it. You know it. There's nothing wrong with training your senses to feel the anointing, to feel
That's
the
right.
presence of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. But there may be occasions where you do have to step out in faith. And I don't really have examples right now, and my time's going to get away if I try to bring out all these examples. But the key, when we step out in ministry, we want to be anointed, we want to know it, and we want to be able to have deliver an impact. All right, so I'm going to go to page 3 now. This is going to be on record, by the way, so we want to keep these things in a series. The anointing will also sharpen your senses. One true signal of the anointing is when things really seem to be working in a miraculous manner, right? We've had that many times here. Things are working when people are popping up and they're bringing things in an order that's wondrous. It's like, you know, you look back and you say, wow, look, you know, and I've even stepped up and said, this is amazing to me how orderly and how one layer on another, it's all coming together. That is being open to the Holy Spirit and open to the, or receiving the anointing. Now, let's talk about brass tacks here. Let's talk about hands-on. Sometimes you know you're anointed, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes other people know, that you are, right? So, for instance, we talked about being scheduled to preach. You're nervous, your faculties are heightened, you know. You're nervous, you just want this thing to go well. You want your mind to be working. You don't want to be going, and, you know, but, and all that stuff. You want everything to work, and so you're harnessing all your mind. And, you know, I think the Lord in his mercy says, you know, I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to anoint your message, but I will leave you alone so you can get it together. Right? But sometimes you feel it. And you've been under that before. You had some experience with the anointing, and you just let it rip. You let it fly. That happens too. How do you know if you're anointed? You can look at the people. That's one. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. You can tell when they're engaged or when they're kind of like, you know, if you get a lot of eye rolling. This is why audiences are very powerful. Right now, you could overwhelm me with your power. Slump in your chair, roll your eyes, and I'll go, oh, Lord, I got to get this, close this out. But if you're saying, nodding your head, yes, amen, I agree, I'm hitting the mark.
Right.
There's an anointing, there's an energy. I feel an energy to bring this. I think it's needed. The Lord is behind it. He's fed me information, and I'm being the delivery guy. Right? I've been in a situation or two where I felt the audience pull on me. It's as if they're pulling what I've got, and I'm going out to them. Mm-hmm. And that is an amazing thing. That is part of the anointing too.
Yeah.
They are connecting with it.
Yeah.
And then they'll eat you alive if you take a step toward them. Right? That means you've really hit the mark. The anointing is there. You know, all you need to do is just let it happen. Let your faith work and let it happen. I'll never forget, I'm sorry for the story. I was in Uganda and I was preaching. And I had prayed into this message. I thought about it. It was written, rewritten, you know, and pieced all together and all that stuff. But my mission was to really impart something into them, especially the leadership there, because they had a conference and they were all meeting together, and they had this once a year thing, and some of them travel for miles, and they will take a long message. They will take it, right? That's just their culture. I can't travel 20 miles to be here, so go ahead, let me have it. They'll be patient. But I will never forget where I was trying to get across the message that God is for you, he wants you, and I brought in the game of soccer, which they understood, it being a world game. And I'm going, all you need to do is you need to step out, you need to kick that goal, and I did some hesitation there, and then just before I was going to do a kicking motion, and these people were so engaged to it. When I swung my foot to kick an invisible ball into the goal, right, and where they scored, that they all rose up and cheered. That's how the anointing worked.
Yeah.
And when I came back to see it, people really had not known what was inside me, were amazed.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what happens when we're always visible. We always see the outward. We don't see what's inside. There's a lot of power inside. There's a lot of giftings that are inside. There's anointing that's in you. That's why when I get up here, and I always keep saying this, I know I'm a repeater, but I'm there to get you to believe it. I believe in you.
Yes.
I believe you're anointed. I believe you have giftings and anointings, and it's to be shared. I want to be a recipient of what you have. Sometimes you don't really understand or realize that the anointing is present until after the ministry or the demonstration. So that's what happens. They, well, you know, we're kind of doing a peeling back the layers of what happened in our meeting. I think it was anointed. But just look how everything happened. It seemed to be miraculous. The circumstances all fell together. That's what happens. I mean, sometimes, you know, you have a heavy feeling or presence. Sometimes you don't. All right? But you move on. We're all in this together. We're all trying to make it work with the Holy Spirit in this. Let's talk about one other thing. Today, I felt, oh, wow, what a wonderful presence of the Lord. Could you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Could you feel it the same thing 3 weeks ago? I don't really remember. It was likely different. Next week, will it be the same as this? It might be, but likely it will be different. So, believe it or not, being in the anointing is a process of learning and discovery. You grow into it. You have learning protocols, right? We're bringing those out here. Understanding and getting the feel of things, learning to flow with it. That's very important. So if you have a theme going on, and sometimes you don't have to necessarily be heavily under the influence. You can pick this up. The theme seems to be, right? So do you want to go and introduce a theme that is totally contrary to what's happening here? Well, if you're a skilled operator, the answer is no. You'll sit on what you have. Mm-hmm. You'll wait for your timing.
Right.
And that's very important.
That's right.
Because everybody is encouraged to bring something.
Right. Yeah.
But it may not be the timing
deliver
it.
That's right.
Well, the Lord told me that I need to bring this particular thing. And I'm sure in people's minds, they're probably saying, not now. Wait. But what we have to do, in order to become skilled, and in order to, where the iron sharpens iron, we have to get up and say, no, not right now. Wait. And we don't like that. Because we feel like, well, the Lord's been operating in me. I feel this. But you know, when you come together as a group and you're willing to bend, you're willing to just say, I want what's best for the group. And I was willing to do that today. I didn't have to do this today, right? I was willing to wait. It was a wonderful worship, and I knew people were being affected. I knew there were things happening in the Spirit. And whenever I prepare something, I say, if it be your way, Lord, if you want it, I'll do it. But if you don't want it, I'll stand down. And I've done that. Okay. Also, when we're talking about the anointing and understanding it, we need to understand and separate what's being anointed and what's not. So again, kind of brought that, you know, your life's goals and purposes and things like that. What is it that the Lord is setting you up for? What's your DNA? What's your purposes? What is it that you know? What's he going to anoint? What's he not? And if he's not, you know, it's probably a good thing. So you don't wreck yourself, or you don't get into a position where you're going, what happened? But Lord, you anointed this. No, he didn't. It's a good thing that he doesn't anoint things where he doesn't want you to go in whatever direction that you want to go, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to start trying to wrap up. So hang with me.
Okay.
Again, we talked about, I want to reiterate, sometimes others know that you have it, and they'll point it out. I've experienced this. I've had people sit by me, or I've sensed it. I know you're anointed. You may not know. You may not believe it right now, but you are, right? So learn from that. If you are a recipient of that, and you get that kind of word to you, take that moment and learn with it. Get in touch with yourself, okay? What's happening around you? What is it that I need to pick up and learn? That's an important process when we're discovering and working with the anointing. What the anointing is not, I'll try to go through these quick. It's not the flash and dash of your gifts. You may have a gift, but you may not be anointed to use it at a particular time and place. That's hard for people, but you have to have the discipline to do that. That's why I believe that prophecy should be anointed.
Yes.
It means the prophet needs to be true to himself and the Holy Spirit. And that's the way I teach it. Now, some people teach where, you know, reach into faith and declare something, and I get that, I understand that. But especially with the new beginners or mid-level and things like that, what you don't want to do is be presumptuous.
Yes.
Okay, you want to have an anointing. You want to have a sensing that, Lord, you're in it. All right? Now, you may disagree, and that's fine. I'm just stating this is how we do things and how I would teach it. The anointing is not your favorite activity that seems to get you warmed up and charged up. Right? What is it that's on God's mind to do for a particular day or session or meeting or group? Again, many of you are gifted, but maybe you're just not anointed for this particular time. But your time will come. I promise you that. The anointing is not when you're gushing with a particular feeling, such as happiness, anger, or when you're in tears. That's not necessarily the anointing to trigger a ministry or a demonstration. These emotions do not automatically translate, but the anointing can trigger certain emotions.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So go ahead and release them accordingly. The anointing is not being more talented, smarter, or better looking. That does not translate to being more anointed. I have to say that because people will probably hear this on tape. And a lot of people have it out there that when you're beautiful and you're presentable and you have a gift of wonderful speaking and all that, that you're anointed, that you're always anointed. Not so. Many people are seen as seemingly have less talents and gifts and things like that, but they're incredibly anointed.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, they're right next to you. I will never forget, I saw these missionaries from Malawi. They came to do a speaking engagement. And I mean, these talk about Mr. and Mrs. Plain Jane Doe. Pudgy, they were not dynamic people that you look on the outward. But they walked up to the particular the stairs to the lectern or the podium, and I mean, I could feel it. There was authority that they exuded.
Wow.
Yeah. And part of that, the reason why I'm grateful to the Lord to be able to experience these kind of things and discern and sense other people's anointings and their giftings. But man, when I it was like, whoa, they have authority. And I know it was for their country that they were in. But, you know, they were to be given respect. And you'll sense that from people. You say, you know, I don't know you, but there's something incredible about you. There's a real anointing and gifting that you have, and I'm sensing it right now. And maybe you can get the talking with them. It's just an amazing thing. It's a discernment that the Lord can give regarding that. Question real quick.
That sounds like that's something that they are, as opposed to... For instance, sometimes when I've been teaching, I feel in the public school where it's not about God or anything, I feel the anointing come on, and there's an execution. You know, there's a something that happens where something amazing happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was on them. That was their authority. That was a God-given thing that that the Lord had gifted them with.
So wherever they are going to be, that's
that authority is there. And it was just an amazing thing to sense. This is very important. And again, we're going to be on tape, so this is going to be a lesson that we can retrieve and listen to again. Sizing up a room or a group and starting to speak something just because there's some expectation that you do something does not translate into the anointing.
Right.
Now, I've seen some very interesting scenarios because of this. Just because you have a position or something, you walk into a room, that doesn't mean you have sized everything up and you've got everything working. Okay? There may be something very incredibly delicate or intimate or something happening in the spirit realm. Do not just barge in and just kind of go, well, brother, something, you know, and really kind of make an embarrassment of yourself. Okay, very important. Take time, try to get a sense of what's happening.
Yes.
Number six, with the anointing is not. Having church authority does not necessarily translate into spiritual authority or anointing. And there's possibly churches, I'm going to say possibly, I'm not here to knock on churches, but they have that kind of arrangement that goes on. So, you know, resumes are passed, and they say, well, you know, I've done this in my past. And, okay, that's great, but is there an anointing on your life and on your ministry to do these particular things, you know, or are you just filling a gap? So, there is a lot of outward sizing up that goes on in the church world. I mean, we tend to be visual. It happens. You know, churches want to behave sometimes like corporate America and things like that. So, but that doesn't necessarily mean that those who are appointed and engaged will never be anointed. All right. If they come to a realization and say, I cannot do this in myself,
yeah.
Lord, I need you,
yeah.
There's some open doors for anointing there. The anointing, true Holy Spirit anointing, does not go around usurping established authority or administrations within churches. The Holy Spirit doesn't behave that way.
That's right.
Trust me on that. If you're sensing that, hey, you're here to overturn the tables and all that stuff, take a step back and check yourself.
That's right.
Have others check if your anointing is bringing a conflict or does not flow with the way the group seems to be following the Holy Spirit leading. There's so many churches out there that they have different missions. They have different ways of doing things.
Yes.
And a lot of them, that's the way God is intending it.
Yeah.
For now. If you would like more on that, read Ann Elmer's book, Transported by the Lion of Judah. Get her take on it and how Jesus feels about churches. What our mission is not going to do is go out there and overturn the tables and put a whip on the pastors and drive out the money changers and the lenders and all that stuff. That's not how the Holy Spirit acts. The Holy Spirit can change internally, change people, and change them that fast. If he wanted to, all right? But, of course, he's working with ministers. He's working with people. Don't get into a place where people can't tell you what's really happening. A big red flag needs to be waved if your ego can't handle feedback that may be corrective or if your performance wasn't so great. Be honest with yourself. Get some mentors and get some people that you can trust and start talking about it. Say, you know, that didn't feel like it went great. What happened? You know, and maybe they can give you some pointers. Or maybe it was just you just had a bad day or something. Okay, but that's important because what you don't want to do is don't hold yourself up here. I think we just had that said. There are no great, wonderful people out there. The Holy Spirit works with everyone.
Yes.
And he wants to bring the best at the given moment, at given time. So, you know, not everything that you do is right on.
Yeah. Hey!
Yeah. Well,
except for.
Maybe for. Yeah. You know, and so be open. You know, even the best of them, they've got to kind of take that step back and get some feedback, you know. And oftentimes these tweaks can occur and you make your performance or you make your delivery better. So be open to that. True Holy Spirit anointing gives you the go or the no.
Yeah.
That's why it works. I remember I wanted to go to Pennsylvania. I wanted to go under Randy Clark's ministry. I wanted to be under the miraculous things, signs and wonders that were happening there. And I mean, I was starting to shift. And I would be there for a year and graduate with the certificates or whatever they had and launch from there. What did I get in the spirit? No. What do you mean no? Lord. I didn't argue like that, but I said, Lord, I thought this is what you wanted. Did you want me to go there? Did you want more anointing and demonstrations and more? This is on my heart. No, a check. No. And it was the right thing. And, you know, here's the other thing, folks. when you get that word, that seems to be, you know, not in my plans. That's a, that seems to be a telegram of do not go, do not pass go, do not get $200 and go back to, you know, Madison Avenue or something. I'm using
jail.
The monopoly.
Jail.
Yeah, go to jail. Right? But that happens.
Yeah.
Okay, how do we get the anointing? Thank you for bearing with me. How do you get it? Because you've heard me say, you know, the kingdom of God is here. How? What do we do to get in it? Right? So how do we get it? This is where we start, you know, let's get personal with this. You've heard the theology. You understand it. How do we get it? So practice his presence. Give him time. Give him quality time. Practice listening. If your life is always rushing and you're always tasking and you don't have any quality downtime where you can just be listening, you know. Sometimes you get things as you're walking and as you're driving. I get that, all right? But give the Lord some quality time. I'm going to read a couple of excerpts from Ann Helmer's book, because what I don't want to do is give you the message that you've got to be on your knees praying 4 hours a day. And if you're not doing that, you're not being successful, and you're not going to be anointed and all that. Okay, that's not what I'm trying to say. But I am going to talk about Ann Helmer a little bit, if you don't mind. And again, thank you for bearing with me for going long with this. But this book is encouraged by the Lion of Judah, and it really is about relationship. At the end of it all these pages, it's about relationship, personal relationship. And you would think it would be like, well, I prayed for 6 hours a day, and you know, I was taken around the world and all that stuff. But really, listen to what she had. I wish I could read you the book, but I can't due to time. But I'm going to do 2 excerpts. Bear with me. But she's talking, at the end of it all, she's talking about her personal relationship and how that has developed and blossomed. But I really went, whoa. Listen to this. She's talking about holiness, being holy to the Lord. And how important it is, yes, to spend quality time, but also just in allowing your thoughts to drift to him, giving your thoughts to him. She says, we do not have to spend hours a day reading the Bible or on our knees in prayer, but including him in our minute-by-minute lives is what he wants, and the way we will learn what he is really like. That's what Adam and Eve did. They walked with God. They talked to him in the garden. They chatted, laughed, and joked with him as they explored that beautiful place he had given them to live in. Wherever you are living right now will not be as beautiful as that garden, but you can still be assured that the Lord is walking with you there. He does laugh a lot, and he longs to sing and dance with you. He wants to help you through the difficulties and see the fruits of his Spirit come forth in your life. He wants to help us to trust him all the way. He never gives us a commandment he is not going to help us accomplish. He is waiting for us to ask him. I just love the gentle nature of the way she writes. But I, you know, I just read that because usually we're hearing to do more and to, you know, kind of get your flesh on, get your game on, get your gifting on, that kind of thing. But so another excerpt. I must add here that nothing is as good as giving the Lord the whole of my attention. That takes us back to quiet time. And I'm aware that I've been quite disparaging about that elsewhere in these chapters. What I don't like about it is that it can become a religious activity and not a conversation from the heart with the lover of my soul. It is essential for my marriage that I spend time alone with my husband. Yes, we can chat when we are both eating, cooking, cleaning, or gardening. But unless we spend quality time together truly listening to what the other is saying, then we will not have a very good relationship. It's the same with Jesus. So that's that was just 2 things, and believe me, it was just full of little nuggets like that. I really enjoyed the read. But, you know, when we put on a lesson like this, it's important to reiterate that I don't have a bullet to I'm not saying you got to do this and you got to do that. It's not about that. It's about developing your relationship.
Yeah.
Practice listening. Also, this is going to enhance your anointing. Do you personally develop? Studying. Personal understanding of yourself. Are you planted somewhere? Can you engage with what the Spirit is doing there? Are you in the flow with what's happening at a particular church house? Do you move around all the time? Because that can affect things. Okay? It's right and proper to, you know, hey, I'm gifted. I've been places, you know, but if I walk into a house, I really shouldn't expect them to for them to give me the microphone and say, here, have at it. We don't know you, but have at it. Okay? Are you anointed to listen and learn? Are you connecting with others? Are you moved with the compassions toward others? Is your heart soft, and are your desires in line with God's desires? Are your internals in line with what God is doing in a particular house? You can always ask for the anointing, and that it is important to ask for it. But if so, prepare for change, because those it's good. We want to make some adjustments that are going to occur to you as well. So let's bring it all together, and I'm going to close, I promise. Let's bring it all together. The anointing is about relationship, and it does get personal. It's about listening. It's about changing personally. And it's also about our body changing as the anointing comes on us as a group as well. It is about caring. Caring what he'd like to do, not just what my personal goal or mission is. And it's about his abiding in you and the strength of that relationship that's in you. And it's about giving out to change something or contribute to something to help others with their walk. All of us walking together as one. Not something earned. It's a grace given to you in measures. Right? Giftings and anointings are. And it tends to be commensurate with the time and energy spent with personal communion. That's not a whip. It's just letting you know that it's important. Let's get back to the fundamentals. It's also about knowing when to go, when to not go, and allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work, his way, his timing.
Yes.
Thank you, folks.
Yes.
You've been very patient and kind.
Thank you.